No, I haven't seen any of these. I've got a couple that I use, but I've got gorilla fingers over here when I'm texting, so I wouldn't be able to use these.
So, sorry, that makes me laugh.
Welcome to the Teen Life Podcast, where we believe that teenagers are not a problem to be solved, but we're here to help you equip teenagers through the power of connection. Welcome back to the podcast. My name is Chris Robey, and across from me is Carly Duke.
Hey, Chris.
So, Carly, we're in for this. Is it uncomfortable conversation? I think traditionally probably it is, but...
Probably. I will say, have you ever had just a conversation that you're like, man, this is important. Don't want to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't want to parent this.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I've got boys that are getting into this age, and so this is conversations that we have had and will continue to have. But we're today going to talk about pornography, and actually today and next week.
Yes.
As well. I felt like it was important enough to break it into multiple sections. But today we're going to kind of hit the high note, so to speak, on pornography, and talk about how we can better handle this as helpers.
Yeah. So just a content warning, if you have younger kids in the car, or if this is a conversation you're not ready to have yet with a teenager, just know we are talking, this first section is about pornography. We're not going to get graphic or anything like that, but we do want to talk about the reality of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is that teens deal with this.
Yep.
Pornography, like I said, is something that as I was doing more research, I have a son who's 4. Mm-hmm. So we are still a little ways away from this, but I was like, man, I do not want to parent this. This does not sound like a fun thing.
Right.
Especially right now in the digital world that our kids live in.
This is a peeling the onion kind of thing when you start to talk about the reasons why and culturally. I mean, I think my guess is if we were on the other side of the planet, this conversation might be different. But this is kind of an American deal, especially with the shame that surrounds it. And we want to have an open conversation about this and equip you, the listener, to have better conversations with your teenagers.
Yeah, so let's get into some of the stats. I know that's everyone's favorite thing.
And but... by the way, we're pretty sure we ruined Carly's Google search with this research. And so, yeah.
Yeah, I'm getting lots of like Covenant Eyes ads because they think I might have a problem. I was not actually looking at pornography. I was very clear about statistics, but...
They're on to you, Carly.
Google is concerned.
Uh-huh.
So... Just from a very high level, an estimated 91.5% of men and 60.2% of women consume pornography.
That's a lot.
So that's just across the board. Now, here are some of the teen stats that get scary. As many as 93.2% of boys and 62.1% of girls first see porn before they turn 18.
Wow.
So these are our teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
And early exposure is actually correlated with an increase in porn use and addiction later in life. So if your kids are looking at it earlier, there's more risk later on.
Yeah, it's formative years, right? And so anything that you're exposed to like that is going to potentially follow you later in life.
Exactly. And so the average age, according to some research, is 11 when they're first exposed. But some are saying it's closer to 8 years old or even 6 years old. I think just because of the access.
Yeah, and we'll talk more about this, but just the different terminologies for sex and porn are also correlated with things that a kid would Google search.
Yes.
And stuff pops up.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. It sure does. This is also kind of weird. Just new research suggests that children under the age of 10 now account for 1 in 10 visitors to porn video sites. And then especially for our parents, 50% of parents underestimate how much porn their teens have seen. So 1 out of every 2 parents thinks, my teen doesn't
do
that. Not
my kid, yeah.
And they're wrong. And so one thing that, especially as I was looking into this, is concerning, because I think as adults, we know porn is very unrealistic.
Mm-hmm.
It is photoshopped. It is staged. It's often very toxic and dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
But survey results showed that over half of 11 to 16-year-old boys and over a third of 11 to 16-year-old girls reported that they believe pornography was a realistic depiction of sex.
Wow.
And that 44% of boys who watch porn reported that it gave them ideas for the type of sex they wanted to try.
Really? So they're learning about all this, not from a trusted person, but from a production.
Yes. And so I'll link all these resources. I have a lot in our show notes, but there's a documentary called Raised on Porn that I watch. It's 30 minutes. It's free on YouTube. It's definitely, I think, worth your time to go watch it. But one of the really interesting things that they talked about in that documentary is that the access, and we'll talk about accessibility a little more, but it's so easy. But the easiest things to access are the most dangerous forms of porn. So you can find more realistic, in quotes, realistic pornography, but you have to search. That might be the 12th search. And what do you think your teenagers are doing?
Right.
They're Googling it, and the first thing they find that's free, they're going to go onto. And that's where the violent, there's rape porn, there's all this stuff that they are consuming that they think is realistic and they want to try.
Wow.
And that is really scary. A few articles I read said today's porn is the worst the world has ever seen because it's the most accessible. You don't have to have an ID. You don't have to pay anything. You don't even have to be looking for it.
Right. I've heard a lot of people talk about how it's crazy that when you're in an airport, that there's, you know, there's still like Penthouse and Playboy magazines in the airport gift shop. And they're like, it's free, you know, like it's so accessible, so easy to find. And I did not know about that idea that the worst porn is the most accessible. That's scary.
Yeah, it is. And that's what some kids are seeking it out and they're searching for it. Some kids just stumble upon it. Maybe they're curious about sex. Maybe they heard a term that they don't know what it means and they Google it and images pull up, or they're on YouTube and stuff comes up. That is really scary to me that they couldn't even be looking for it, but be exposed. And then once you're exposed, that can lead them down a rabbit hole of other things. We've told some stories in the office of different things that either we've searched or people we know have searched innocently, not having to do anything with that, like boat. And up pops a naked girl laying on a boat. And it's just stuff like that that our kids might not be looking for it, but it's popping up.
Yep.
I also saw that this year there's reporting that hardcore sexual content is frequently recommended to accounts registered to minors.
Wow.
So we've talked about they can stumble across it, they might be looking for it, but it's also being marketed to them now. And that is different. Some people say that social media is grooming our children for sexual violence and unrealistic expectations. So that's scary that that's what they're being kind of controlled and influenced by. And the thing is, porn has an effect on relationships. It has an effect on your life, especially if it's an addiction, just like any other addiction. And it's not only hurting relationships, but it's also decreasing the ability and desire to engage in a serious long-term relationship.
Yeah. So it's basically satisfying some kind of need that a relationship should fulfill in some ways. And what's unfortunate about it is that relationships are messy, right? They're they're not always straightforward. You know, it's a lot of work. And so for a lot of people, just checking out and letting the pornography be the relationship, you don't, you know, there's no fights there. There's no, no friction or tension kind of thing. And so it's much easier to engage with something like that than to engage with a real person. And that's so dangerous and so unrealistic and dehumanizing, all of those kinds of things. And it's a substitute for the real thing, which will always come up short.
Yes. And so a few stats on this. Porn is a dominant and most likely causal factor in decreasing the marriage rate. It can hurt a couple's relationship. It's likely the cause of an increase in divorce or breakups. Also, watching porn alone doubles the rate of cheating on a partner.
Wow.
Which is really scary. And I also think, like we talked about, these violent and almost more dangerous versions of pornography, it encourages people to be less respectful towards others. It encourages our teenagers to see others as objects. And that they're just someone there to satisfy them and not actually as people, and they objectify them. There was a really scary story in that documentary I was talking about, and we might get more into this next week, but it just makes me think, like, how scary not only for your teenagers who might be viewing porn, but for your teenagers who might be dating someone who views porn and how they might be treated because of that. So even if your teen isn't personally looking for porn, this is something they need to talk about because they could get into a relationship with someone who does, and it could impact that relationship as well. And so what can we do to help? We've previewed it a little bit. Next week is going to be a special deep dive into pornography. Mm-hmm. And it's weird to say, but I'm kind of excited about it. I'm excited for you to hear it because Chris and Tobin are going to take half of the episode and talk about it from a male perspective. And then me and Kelly are going to talk about the second half from a female perspective and right. how we can talk to teen girls about it and split it up a little bit like that. So check back next week for that. Mm-hmm. And we'll have some more tangible ways to have conversation and work through that. But I did want to hit a few highlights of what can we do to help our teenagers. And one of the first things is talk about it early.
Yep. Yep. And the conversations, even about sex itself, even if you're not mm-hmm. talking specifically about pornography, but having healthy conversations about sex with your kids, especially as they show that curiosity and removing the shame from that conversation as quickly as you can, makes the pornography conversation easier, I would think.
Yes. And so if they're little, like we said, some of these stats at the very beginning that we talked about are scary, how early they can come across it.
Right.
So talk about it early. Give them an age-appropriate definition of pornography. Mm-hmm. Give them some warnings about the harms of it when it's appropriate. Like I said, this is not stuff I'm going to be having with my four-year-old, but as he gets older, we will be having conversations. Mm-hmm. And then create a plan to reject it when they see it. So that might look something like, especially when they're younger, hey, if you come across something that looks like this, please come tell me mm-hmm. or tell an adult that you trust. Mm-hmm. And then open up that conversation. Now, when they get older, that might look something different of mm-hmm. what can we do to have more accountability? What can we do? Do we need to block things? Do you feel like that's appropriate? So I feel like with each kid, I don't feel comfortable saying across the board, this is what you need to do for pornography. Mm-hmm. Every kid is different, but be having conversations about it. And as you said, you want to encourage discussion because if they come across it, I would rather know about it than my teen feel shame about it and hide that and continue to struggle by themselves.
Yeah. Pornography is engaged in the secret and solitary, and we the things that we're ashamed of, that's what we do in secret. And so if we are willing and courageous enough as adults to have conversations that bring those things into the light, it has a hard time thriving. And so I really do believe, as uncomfortable as it might be as a parent, as a helper, being open and this is more of a sex conversation, but even in our own house, we try to make jokes and kind of even make light of it and almost make our kids feel a little bit uncomfortable, you know, about how open we are with it. And we talked about that on previous episodes, but I think that's the same thing with, it's going to make the pornography conversation a lot more accessible, maybe not easier, but more accessible.
For the trend this week, Chris, I want to come back to acronyms. We've done this before, and some of them we knew.
Uh-huh.
Some of them were very confusing. And so first I want to hit some normal acronyms, and then because we're talking about pornography, why not?
Yeah.
We're going to hit some sexual acronyms as well.
Discomfort levels high. Let's ride that wave. Yeah.
Why not? Uh-huh. So for some normal acronyms, TTM. Have you seen this one?
No, I haven't seen any of these. I've got a couple that I use, but I've got gorilla fingers over here when I'm texting, so I wouldn't be able to use these.
So sorry, that makes me laugh. TTM is talk to me.
All right.
I've seen this one on Instagram a lot lately. Kids will throw up a question box on Instagram with TTM, talk to me.
Okay.
And have people ask them questions or just say things, and then they'll respond to them. TFW. That feeling when,
I think I've seen that actually.
Yes, and I feel like a lot of these phrases you'll have heard of, you just might not have seen the acronym before. Mm-hmm. YKTV, you know the vibe.
That seems cumbersome to me.
I know, but I will see it's especially in hashtags or I don't know. Kids are funny; they shorten everything.
Yeah,
and so I see this a lot. They'll just post a picture and then put the You Know the Vibe acronym. Uh-huh. I'm like, okay, I guess it's cooler than typing out You Know the Vibe. And
Okay, so
do we need to have a vibe conversation?
No. I just this triggered a memory, and this is a little bit. It's not really off topic, but we did a teen terms mm-hmm. a while back. My 8-year old said sus the other day.
Yes.
And so my 8-year old. I stopped and I was like, buddy, where'd you hear that? And then he didn't really know, but like, that's so sus.
That is awesome.
Yeah. So.
And this podcast helped you know what he meant.
It really did. But if they start throwing it at TTM, I'm just going to shut that down.
Most of these, I will say, most acronyms are seen. They're not going to say these out loud.
Right.
As you can tell by the awkwardness of me trying to read the letters and not get them mixed up. But you will see them on social media, especially like TikTok that has shorter captions. Mm-hmm. They're using a lot of these because they have to get their point across very quickly, mm-hmm. text messages. And so, you know, the vibe. We'll do another teen terms later, and I'm sure vibing will come up because that's a big one right now. FR, for real.
For real.
I see that in a lot of comments, a lot of, once again, Instagram. Now, sexual acronyms, these hopefully are not ones that you're going to see as much on social media, but I thought these were important to take a look at because if you're looking at your teen's phone and see some of these in their text messages, they just might be a red flag.
Right.
So the first one, 53X, which if you're listening, you're going to be like, what in the world? But if you look at it written out, it looks like sex.
Yeah. And I'm looking at it right now. I'm like, yeah, that's definitely, I think you would be able to catch on to that one pretty quick.
I do think so too. If you see that. I would hope so. Mm-hmm. LMIRL. That one's longer. Let's meet in real life.
Okay.
So that one could be, especially if your kid's playing games, even on Xbox or whatever, and they're chatting back and forth, let's meet in real life would be a red flag.
Right.
So this would be someone that they probably don't know or haven't met in person.
Yeah. This almost sounds like a grooming kind of. Yes. Like if you see something like that, someone's almost like predatory. Right.
Yes.
And I think the next one is too.
Yes. Yeah. ASL is another one, which you might be thinking sign language. not quite. Yeah. So this one can stand for age, sex, location.
Right.
And so once again, that one is definitely, you wouldn't be sending that to someone that you know or a friend from school.
Mm-hmm.
FYEO or the number 4YEO, so for your eyes only. Mm-hmm. So that might indicate explicit photos. Also similar to that is NSFW. Now, I know I've seen this one. Mm-hmm. That's not suitable or safe for work.
Right.
And so especially if you don't want parents to look at it, adults to look at it, if they're sending a video or pictures, you might send that before of like, hey, make sure no one's looking at your phone.
Yeah. And I would say too, just as a general best practice as parents, is if you are seeing any kind of acronyms that you're not familiar with, I think you need to ask, mm-hmm. And if they become secretive about it, then you kind of know something's up. But all these are easily accessible. You can look these up. But I would also say too, if anyone who is not familiar to your family is texting anything like this, like you probably need to intervene pretty quick.
Yes.
Especially you know stuff like ASL or. LMIRL. sounds so dorky when I say it that way, but yeah, these are things we need to intervene with pretty quick because we just don't know if that's a person that these kids know. If not, then there's someone trying to be a predator for sure.
And I will say, I feel like I've said this on this podcast before, but Google is your friend.
Mm-hmm.
So if you see something and you're like, "What is that?" You can also have a conversation with your teen, or you might just put it in Google. Because mm-hmm. I saw something the other day that I was like, what does that mean? And I'm pretty sure it was that feeling when. And mm-hmm. I was like, oh, once I saw it on Google, I was like, oh, that's what that means. And that's not bad. But I was like, what does that even mean? Why are they saying that?
Mm-hmm.
So use Google. Urban Dictionary sometimes can bring up stuff if Google won't.
Mm.
So use that to your advantage and make sure you know what your teen is posting.
Carly, for the tip. When I saw this, I was like, oh, I just dealt with this recently. Disney Plus added an R and TVMA content recently. And so a lot of families use Disney Plus as a entertainment source, and it's great. Got lots of great stuff on it. But we were logging into my son's account on Disney Plus to watch like Phineas and Ferb or something for the 500th time. And it asked, do you want to enable R and TVMA content, which kind of caught me off guard. I wasn't really expecting that. We obviously opted out of that for his account, but that's a new thing that I had not seen yet.
Yeah, this was a big deal when I saw it because the big push for Disney Plus when it came out was nothing was over TV-14.
Mm-hmm.
It was only PG-13 and TV-14, which made me feel nice and good about what my kids could potentially come across. They have their own profiles too. But when I saw this, I was like, oh, okay. So I kind of looked into it because I was like, what are they putting out that's rated this from Disney? They just recently included Marvel movies and TV shows that were originally released on Netflix.
Gotcha.
As I believe Netflix original. So things like Daredevil, Jessica Jones, The Punisher. So they contain profanity. I just said that so weird. Contain? Let me go back. They contain profanity, sexuality, and more violence than was recently released on the platform.
Hmm.
So something to watch for. As Chris said, I feel like Disney handled this really well, though.
Yeah.
Just from a parent perspective, because it popped up, it didn't automatically change everything. It popped up of your settings will stay the same unless you opt in.
Hmm.
And to opt in, you had to put a password in.
Okay.
So I had to put my normal password in to get that content. And it went on a, what's it called? Like a profile by profile basis. So it didn't change it for the whole app. And then I saw that it will send an email to your account if you changed it.
Gotcha.
So even if your teenager knows your password and changes it for themselves, you should have gotten an email saying that they made that change. So if you got an email saying that and you weren't sure what it was, go back and look and talk to your teen about it.
Right.
Some other things that are interesting, you can lock different accounts with PIN numbers and set kid accounts. So like my kids are younger, so they have kid accounts.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, I just don't know what Disney's going to be putting on. So we put PIN numbers on me and Josh's account. So they would not be able to accidentally get into our account and then have access to even PG-13. My kids are little.
Mm-hmm.
So they shouldn't even be watching PG-13 movies. Or Sawyer's really into Star Wars, but I don't necessarily want him getting into that yet.
Mm-hmm.
So I can put PIN numbers on my account. So I feel like they've put some good safety measures in place to keep this appropriate.
Yeah, and I know like HBO Max, like they have a similar kind of setting. I don't know about Netflix, but more and more of these providers are becoming better at it. I would say it's still worth kind of keeping an eye on.
Yeah.
If that content is on Disney Plus, filters aren't perfect. And so just being mindful of what your kids are watching, if it is appropriate or not, these things aren't foolproof. All right, that's a wrap on this one. Thank you so much for listening. A special thanks to Carly Duke and to Kelly Fan for producing this podcast. Also to Luke Cabrera for our awesome podcast music. If you want to know more about Luke and his music, check out his contact info in the description. Well, this podcast is for the helpers, and we really hope you feel helped. If there's something we haven't talked about or a topic that you're really interested in, email us at podcast@teenlife.ngo, and we will do our best to get to that topic. We will see you next week.